Hey everyone, Shanuk here, and I'm excited to announce my stand-up tour, Wait, What Sri Lanka? It's a show for anyone that's ever felt invisible. This show is really special to me. I wrote it after feeling invisible my entire life, until I found ways to showcase who I am. And not just from being Sri Lankan, but from all angles of my identity, whether it be race, gender, sexuality, relationship status. This show is for everyone. This spring, I'll be in D.C. on March 14th, Richmond, Virginia on March 15th, San Francisco on March 26th, Los Angeles on March 29th, and finally, Vancouver on April 9th. Tickets are on sale now. And don't worry, I'm adding more cities to the tour, like Chicago, Toronto, Columbus. Those dates will be announced soon. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, why isn't Shanu coming to my city? Well, it's because you probably haven't joined my email list. If you join my email list, that helps me know where I should go perform stand-up. If you're not on that list, I don't know I have fans in that city. You can take a moment right now, go to ShanukTissara.com or at Shanuk on Instagram, and there you can find tickets to my upcoming shows and a link to my email list so I know what cities to add to the tour. And if you come to my shows, come say hi. I do meet and greets afterwards. I love meeting my fans. So take a moment right now to go to ShanukTissara.com or at Shanuk on Instagram and buy tickets today. Or join the email list. I love you. Bye.
There are no walls or wards which can contain evil. The Pixies of Berrybrook attempted this doomed path, choosing to hide themselves away, sequestering themselves in the mist. But Dulcinea's curse found them all the same. As Chestnut pries the boards and bars away from the entrance to the tunnels beneath the village, you see all the evidence you need that this barrier is not a solution, only a tactic of delay. Scattered just inside the entrance are the remnants of previous barriers, splintered into kindling by a terrible force. And on the backside of this makeshift seal, you see a tapestry of deep and furious scratches, an ode to the inevitable, painted by the terrifying claws of the Rat King. The cool air of the tunnels pulls at your skin, beckoning you towards a deafening cacophony of buzzing and skittering that forces its way into your ears and burrows itself deep in your skull. You step inside the tunnels, and behind you, you hear slam. As the barricades are quickly reconstructed behind you and nailed into place.
Not even a goodbye, not even like a goodbye hug, not even a like see you later.
No high
nothing.
Five, oh. No tap on the butt. It was like, nope, sealed.
Not all even right. To Adelaide from Chestnut.
Yeah, like, all right, oh, I see
like,
see what's
bye,
happening
babe,
here.
Good luck.
Okay.
You see, before the last board goes in, the kind of board pops up and Chestnut goes, Adelaide, my love, my dear, I will compose a sonnet, a something for you by the time you get out of here. I swear, you're the most beautiful and radiant thing I've ever seen, and I just can't wait to see you again. I hope you make it out of here alive.
I feel more like you hoped I would if you weren't kind of barricading me in.
Would that it were so simple. I would love to be on that side and not this side, but I have my orders from the Queen and, you know, dual allegiances. I do love you, but I did just meet you today. And it just
You know, I got to keep my whole life in perspective a little bit.
Adelaide does not understand that. Adelaide is very used because of her princess powers of people falling in love with her that day. She doesn't see what the fuck the problem is.
I think, Adelaide, you're realizing, like, the charm effect that was there is, like, starting to wear off, and, like, you gotta hit another bit of it as it's happening.
Oh, I gotta hit another bit of it?
You gotta hit another bit of it.
Okay. Oh, my dear sweet... What was his name again?
Chestnut.
No, this was Adelaide asking everybody else. This wasn't Danielle. This was Adelaide asking the princesses.
It was I think his name was Chestnut. His name is Chestnut.
Thought it was Hazel.
No,
is
no
Hazel
way.
Is Chestnut? Chestnut. I'm pretty sure.
Try Hazelnut? Hazelnut.
Hazelnut.
Split the difference.
Hazelnut. Hazelnut. My dearest, sweetest nut.
Nice.
We're at nicknames already?
Yes.
Pet names, honey.
Your duty... is bound, but I believe that you do see that you were something meant for me. Don't let us die.
That was good.
She's doing so good.
He looks through to you and again, like, clutches his heart, goes,
another song just for me. This one, even a work in progress. You couldn't wait to give it to me.
A work in progress. That's how the new rap thing I do works. Thumbs up.
He reaches back and pulls out from his, coat. You see this kind of, like, there's this, like, pocket in there. It, like, unclips it. And he pulls out a small vial.
Ooh.
That looks like some kind of potion or something. And it's attached on a chain. Like, you would wrap it around your neck or maybe, like, around a wrist or something. And he hands it to you and goes,
this was given to me by my mother and has always protected me in the darkest of times.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Only use it when there is no hope left. It will protect you and will light the way. Aww. And also, just be really, really careful with it. Because if I introduce you to my mother and it's broken, I'll be honest, that's kind of the ball game.
Oh, yeah, no, totally.
Adelaide just, like, grabs it and puts it on. She's, like, looking at it, kind of shakes it by her ear. And it's like, oh, yeah, no, totally careful.
Careful.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful. I can't wait to meet Mama Nut. Thumbs up.
Mama Nut. Yep.
I can't wait either. I'll let her know. We'll plan a dinner soon.
And starts banging in the last of the planks into this thing.
So I have a question. What's a rat?
Oh, yeah. You probably wouldn't have been exposed. Your castor was always so clean. Rats, well, traditionally, are sort of small. Have you ever seen a mouse? Like, help you get dressed or anything?
No.
Or a squirrel?
I've seen a squirrel.
Okay,
so... you get dressed?
Some princesses. It depends on what your deal is. But squirrels...
This is what your deal is.
Sure depends on what your deal is.
That moving of emphasis did so much for me. And depends on what your deal is.
Depends. But rats are sort of like if squirrels had shaved tails.
Yeah, they're like a horse, but sometimes gross. Like a tiny horse, sometimes gross.
Kind of like, okay, like when, like when Matt's sick.
I feel like Winnie's losing it. He's listening to us trying to describe animals.
You can imagine her at like I'm at the front of the group, like, oh my God, she's sitting here singing another song while we have shit to do. Oh God, what do you mean she doesn't know what a rat is? Did we just say it was a small horse? What is happening?
So we can ride the rats. The rats can be tamed. I know other questions. Let's go. I got it locked in. Don't need any more help. No one say anything else about rats.
The light behind you begins to disappear as the last few holes in this constructed barricade get filled. I assume one of you, like, lights up a torch or something. This is utter darkness down here.
Oh, okay.
You light up a torch and see a flickering firelight illuminates these tunnels. These tunnels were carved in a way so that pixies could come and go and store food and store arms. This is just a great storage place for the city. And Amira, as if in answer to your question, what is a rat? You hear from down the way, off in the distance, just past a fork. You see in front of you a long tunnel leading to a forked path. There are two paths going, one to the left, one to the right. As you get closer to them, off to the left, you feel a strange, almost electricity, and you smell a combination of, like, sweet things. It's an interesting... It's a cacophony of, but not sounds, but of smells and of sensations. Mm. And then to the right, you hear a almost deafening buzzing. That I think, Winnie, there's no hiding what that buzzing is. This is some kind of swarm of bees.
Okay.
Winnie, I have to assume that those bees are infected. Do they sound like that to you?
Yeah, if I am going to drop down onto all fours and just pad like all of 10 feet down that tunnel and then just close my eyes, tilt my head and listen. And if I'm trying to connect with, this isn't me initiating my ability to speak with animals, more or less my ability to hear them. If I'm trying to connect to the song, am I sensing that feral franticness that was similar to the other infected bees?
Do me a favor, roll me a wits check.
Oh, we're coming out like that already? Okay.
I'm gonna give you...
I mean, live your truth, boo. I'm here for you.
I'm going to give you one answer and more information if you succeed.
Heard. That was a 5 under my 9.
The first thing you hear is you do hear, even without your ability to hear exactly what they're saying, the frantic, cursed nature of these bees is apparent to you even at this distance.
Okay.
I think it's also kind of apparent to you, like, these are bees that have been locked down here. They are in, like, a crazy production mode, likely of making honey or something. The thing that you recognize from this distance as well is some other voice or buzzing or presence. Not a malevolent, like, you're not sensing the Rat King, though you definitely, like, hear the skittering and snarfing of that entity from somewhere down these tunnels. Instead, you hear a almost calming, I would say majestic, presence buzzing alongside the rest of the bees.
Queen?
You hear a queen bee. And I think, Winnie, with that successful wits test, I think the thing you hear is a slow, almost hypnotic command.
Uh-oh.
Behind the things that this bee is saying. Like, the fact that you can pick out one voice in hundreds is mostly because all of the other voices are frantic and cursed. This one probably cursed as well in some way, but the pattern is so much different and so much more steady.
Ooh. So I'll come back to the group. Somewhere down this tunnel, there's a very big hive of bees. They're just like the ones we encountered in the woods. They're agitated, they're feral, they're cursed, they are frantic, but I can actually hear the queen running beneath that, and there's something powerful about her. Oh, well, all queens are powerful. We know that. I kind of like the gesture as we princesses.
Yes, yeah,
but there's something
totally.
Right, of course. Yeah, yeah, it's like, come on now, dirt off her shoulders.
But there's good to show some respect. Sure.
Indeed. Yeah. But there's something anchoring or calm or almost hypnotic about her, and I can't tell whether that's going to work against us or for us. But there's a sizable threat down that corner. Geraldine, what are you getting from the other tunnel?
Oh, dear. What am I getting from the other tunnel, Brian?
Go ahead and roll me a wits check.
Okay. That's a 7 under my 12.
Let's go!
Hell yeah. Geraldine, with that successful wits test, you sense down the left-hand tunnel, it feels like a static electricity coming through the air. Not a physical electricity, but there is something definitely potently magical down the left-hand tunnel.
Oh.
I think as you kind of just like skirt around it just a little bit, just kind of peering off into the distance, you do see a very faint glow. It is the only light in here, so it's like, it is clear that whatever this light source is far away, but the fact that it is so dark in here, like you move the torch off to the side, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you see just this faint green glow off in the distance down this way.
Well, I mean, there's something definitely magical. It's got an energy to it, different from the bees, I think, but I mean, there's something, and I mean, if down that way there's light glowing. It's not daylight. It's definitely something different.
So you think the rat horses are down there?
I feel we may have led you astray by adding horse to
No, no more. And nothing more. Nope.
Oh, sorry. Just real quick point of order. Is Matt down here with you?
Yes.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
Oh, Lord. I love it. Okay.
Look, that's the only thing that they're going to get is if we said horse. Like, we got to work.
Yeah. You did say gross horse, so I guess, yeah.
Yeah, no such thing as a gross horse. Well, no such thing.
Yeah, see, that's what concerns me.
Well, okay, but like a maybe candy cursed gross horse?
Oh, needs a bag.
Roxanne has shots for that now. I'm fine. Look at me. By the way, I'm going to ask, if any of you were bitten by a zombie...
Right, yeah.
Would you tell... This is hypothetical, of course. Would you tell the other ones if you got bit?
Yeah, like immediately. Yeah, like, of course.
Yeah, totally.
Feels like
totally.
The responsible choice.
Right.
Yeah. Because, like, I mean, I'm going to die anyway, so, like, why would I postpone it and risk all of the people that I love? And then also, like, maybe the world, right?
Totally.
Because, like, what if we're, like, you're with a group who's the only group who could, like, save the world from, like, a zombie apocalypse.
Totally.
And, like, you're in there. Yeah, it's kind of like a zombie Trojan horse.
Right.
And now Trojan the horse. Only people that could have helped are now going to get infected. And I'm going to die anyway. You know, they're not going to magically find a cure before all of this happens. I think you have to disclose.
Right, like a moral obligation to say that.
I'm going to sniff Amira. Because at this point, I'm convinced she's infected. That's the only reason that explains any of this.
No,
I'm
going to
sniff her.
No,
I'm going to close the distance.
Me. Get out. Winnie,
and
stop.
Sniff her.
Oh,
stop.
No.
Stop sniffing. I'm normal. I'm good.
Winnie, go ahead and test wits for me.
Oh, God. While you're doing that, Adelaide also sniffs Amira.
Stop.
But they just smell like horse. They just smell like horse.
Stop smelling me.
This is an 8 over 9 or under 9. Just barely made it.
Let's go.
Winnie, you sniff Amira, and you had gotten some light touches of, like, or not even light touch, you got pretty heavy touches of, like, what a cursed person smells like.
Mm-hmm.
Down here, it is tough because a lot of what you're smelling down here is a production of honey from this hive or whatever is down this right-hand tunnel. It is pungent, this cursed smell. It has a certain odor to it. And you get close to Amira, and the first thing you smell down by their hands is a little sweetness. And you see residue on, like, the back of their knuckles of, like, frosting or icing.
I was eating cupcakes.
Amira brushes it off, and it comes right off.
Wait, the knuckle comes off too, or just...
Stop doing this, Brian. This doesn't help.
No, Winnie posed a really good question. What comes off? Just the icing?
The knuckle?
My finger.
The icing knuckle or just the icing?
Just the icing comes off. Winnie,
okay.
At this moment, you know for certain that at this moment, at least, Amira has not shown any signs of infection.
So I'm going to look Amira directly in the face after I sniff up her wrist and her knuckles.
Stop,
and I'm going
Winnie.
To stand up and I'm going to look up to her. If I knew, would you want to know?
Damn.
Obviously, yeah, but you don't know because I am not cursed. It was a hypothetical about zombies. Plus, I got the shot, and everyone knows that I am doing a good job. Don't look at me. Nobody look
You're
at me.
So bad.
Just to clarify, you do want to know or you don't want to know?
Yes, I want to know, but don't look at me.
So bad.
Everyone just turn around, face the other direction.
And Adelaide turns around. Amir, if you are under a candy curse, we will save you. And if we don't, your casket will be dragged away by 10 to 15 of the country's most beautiful horses.
Can it just be Matt?
Yes, of course it can.
Of course,
it will. Well, it will. It will just be. It will just be Matt.
You see, Matt behind a mirror just goes. It just shakes his head.
Matt's the homies.
Matt will be very well taken care of. Don't you worry.
Matt's hand just flops down on Amira's shoulder and big lick up the side of your face.
Thanks, Matt. I think this is nice.
Amira, as Matt licks up the side of your face, all of a sudden you see Matt and starts licking you like a couple more times. The way that you've only seen him lick like a sugar cube sugar or like a salt cube. Lamp or something. Yeah.
Matt, stop.
Matt's going to eat you.
I give Matt a wink. You're my favorite, Matt. Thank you.
Matt, stop it. Stop it. Stop. No. No.
I feel like as Amira turns around, like Matt just like puts up a hoof to like dap Winnie.
Right. I hoof bump Matt.
As you guys have been deciding what to do here, you have spent some time here, which means we're going to roll for a potential wrinkle. And I'm going to choose at random who's going to roll for that wrinkle. We're going to be rolling a d4, so I'll just go ahead and roll a d4. I've got it in my hand. That's Amira!
Oh my god! Amira, you finally get to roll!
Finally! We've been waiting for you to roll like all game.
I know!
Are you kidding me?
Amira, if you could roll a d4, you're just looking for not a one.
The dice said it was so, Amira.
I rolled a 3.
Rolled a 3.
All right.
Nothing happens. No wrinkle. But I will say, as you guys linger in places, this is a very dangerous environment. You're going to be rolling D4s for potential wrinkles anytime you're spending too much time. So you see these two tunnels. You see the left tunnel with this glow and this magical emanation. And you see this right tunnel with this buzzing and cacophony of bees and this mesmeric sound or buzzing of this queen bee. And from somewhere down here, you hear that roar of the Rat King. Which is so cacophonous that it seems to envelop both of these places. Which tunnel do you choose?
I'm worried if we get stung by the bees that perhaps we'll become infected, but... You know, it's the unknown down this way and the quasi-known down that way. If you think these bees are unlikely to be tamed, then I may vote left.
Let's go left. All right, we'll go left.
We're coming, Rat King, Horse, Rat Horse King.
You don't have to announce it. Sometimes it's nice to just sort of show up. Surprise! You know, everyone loves a surprise party.
We're here
horses,
for your
horses hate surprises. I'm just letting you all know now.
Matt just goes and nods.
God damn it, Matt.
You guys make your way down the left-hand tunnel, and as you approach what you see is an opening to some kind of storeroom, you see this green glow is getting just a little bit brighter, though it is clear that it is not emanating from this room. There's clearly like a room beyond where this green glow is. As you kind of turn a corner, you see this room in front of you seems to be lined around all of the sides with shelves with like a bunch of glass bottles and things. Or rather, you would have seen a bunch of glass bottles. They seem to have all fallen on the floor.
Oh.
Shattered, creating this large puddle in the center of the room. And as you enter this room, that electricity in the air begins to thicken in a way that what was a sensation of static now is coalescing into a smoky miasma that is filling this room.
Ooh, damn.
On the ground, you see a large puddle that's taking up most of the room that seems to be the contents of all of the flasks and bottles that were on these shelves stored, having smashed into a large viscous pool that has this weird, like, ever-changing mercurial shimmer to it. And then past this puddle that would be kind of... I say puddle. This room is kind of flooded by this stuff. There were hundreds of bottles in this thing.
So there's no walking around.
Ugh, okay.
Past this kind of flooded little area is a door to a adjacent room where you see this green glow emanating from.
Well...
You want me to hop over and look?
Do you think you can make it?
Mm-hmm. There's enough here to climb on.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, Wynn.
You got this.
I believe in you.
You can do it.
Winnie, go ahead and make a... do a test of your choosing. You could do Grace. You could do probably Grace if you're trying to, like, bound about. But if you were trying to also climb things, I'd let you do Resolve as well if you want to do that instead.
I like the idea of being graceful, but I think on this one, not just because it's a higher number, just because of the way I'm envisioning this.
No, narratively.
It would probably be resolve, because more than like dexterity based, this is more like focused intentionality, because I have no idea if there's a foe on the other side of this thing that's going to force me back into it. I'm going to be separated from my party. So yeah, I think this is going to be more like me keeping my composure together and being like, you know, versus like parkour, this is rock climbing where it's very intentional.
Yes.
And I'm carrying my way along. I may fail the roll anyways, guys. I'm rolling under a 12 and I hit a 12.
Success.
Is that succeed or pass? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Let's go.
You very quickly climb along these shelves. They are a little bit rickety. It seems like something had gotten in this room and like smashed around. You see claw marks very reminiscent of the marks that had shattered things at the like front gates at the barricades. Going through and grabbing onto like random bits of wood and like on the ceiling, there's still like rocky elements of the ceiling and like beams and things that you're able to grab onto and swing. You swing over this like miasmatic pool and land on the other side. The other side of the doorway, you see that green glow is very bright now. And as you peek your head inside, you immediately see two things. The first, you see off in the back corner of what is clearly like a auxiliary like food storeroom. This is like a very large room that was full of like a lot of grain barrels and mushrooms and things. Off in the back corner of the room, you see to your eyes a large, almost not quite horse sized, not quite mat sized, but like large dog sized glowworm.
Oh, interesting. Oh.
It has a little collar around its neck with a little bell. And a little, like, dog tag. However, preventing it from getting anywhere, you see some kind of slime that is almost forming, like, a web, impeding the glowworm from getting out. And as you kind of look at it for a moment, you see this web itself, this slime, begin to pulse. And you see some of the tendrils reaching out from the mushrooms and the various things in this room, and you trace with your eyes down from where these tendrils are, and you see it is feeding off of this pool in the other room.
Hi, I'm Maia, and this is Maia's Game Room, a narrative actual play anthology featuring short-form, story-driven TTRPGs. Each season tells a new story using a different rules-light system brought to life with sound design, editing, and emotional-rich roleplay. So, if you love cinematic storytelling and character-driven drama, come check out Season 1, set in the haunting world of the Electric State RPG. Just search Maia's Game Room wherever you get your podcasts.
Mushrooms and fungus in this room have formed some kind of fully cognizant or like living entity that is surrounding the entire room and pulses momentarily as you see a little bit of the strange like concoction in the other room get sucked up just a little bit. Up just a little bit.
Does it seem aware of the fact that Winnie, did you like crack the door open or did you?
This is like
a
door. There's like no door.
Oh,
there's
okay.
Like, it's just an open
chamber.
Chamber.
So I'm hanging off the top of a shelf, like half off of the wall and half, and I'm like peeking in. Adelaide, I found your boyfriend's glowworm. Was he missing a glowworm? No, he said that glowworm died, right?
Something glowworm. I don't know. I was like, I think I remember something about a worm. It maybe was glowing. Is there anything on there that says like I'm the nutworm?
Hazelnuts worm, maybe.
I'm going to look at the glow worm and it's like, do you belong to Hazelnut? And then I actually remember the guy's name. Do you belong to Chestnut?
Who's Chestnut?
As you say that, you see all of a sudden the glow worm's eyes like flick over to you. I say eyes. The glow worm's head kind of moves over to you.
Eye stalks, eye stem, however worms work.
Yeah.
And you see the worm moves in a way that you recognize would be a thing barking, but instead it just kind of like... And then the bell kind of tinkles a little bit. As the bell tinkles and as you say this thing, the slime, this mold slime, pulses harder and the tendrils begin to move around even further. You see this thing is not able to sense you in a visual sense, but it is reacting to your presence as you move through.
Interesting. I can't leave that glowworm by itself, but I am out of my league here, so I'm going to look back at Geraldine. It's like, I don't speak fungus or mold or magical mold or whatever this is.
Maybe I can give it a shot. Is the mold, is it making a noise?
There's a little bit of a, like, as you listen close, there's a little bit of a kind of hum, or like rather like kind of a squelching sound of what you're hearing is if like you put your ear up to someone's like belly and you hear their intestines digesting food.
Yum.
That's what you're hearing in a room that is also underground and being echoed.
Ugh.
It's a thing that you would rather have not heard.
Adelaide, do you think if you sing, you can calm it or distract it or something?
Or at least pull it towards you where I can get into this room, or...
Yeah, I think I'm going to try. I'll try to see if I can sing for it.
I have an idea.
Ooh.
Brian, I have a shenanigan for you.
Oh, shenanigan.
Oh, you have a shenanigan.
You
would like to present a shenanigan.
Yeah.
One of my innate abilities is cat-like. You have advantage on virtue tests that involve acrobatics, climbing, or stealth.
Sure.
And you can leap twice as far as most people.
Sure. Let's go.
Will you...
Why did you make Winnie do that?
I don't know. She likes to climb. I like her to have her moment. I also didn't realize until we were halfway through that scene that this is an ability I have. Would you let me, like, hold on to Adelaide and leap with both of us across the puddle?
Ooh.
I will 100% let you do it. If you are holding another person, I'll say disadvantage, but you have advantage, so cancels out. So you'd be rolling flat.
Just be flat.
Okay.
Yeah, no worries. I'll just stay here. Cool.
Where Matt can leap over
Matt.
With you.
No,
Or you can sort of hang out here. Maybe find a map.
Yeah, I'll find them. I'll be back. I'm going to go find them.
I'll be back.
And I walk
and a caution
the other way.
Sign.
Don't go too far.
Yeah. Wet floor.
One of the wet floor signs, yeah.
Amira, you start opening up a bunch of like cabinets in the kind of like entryway to find a mop.
I imagine Amira having a full Fantasia wizard's assistant moment where it's you open the wrong closet and there's, or what's
it's
the name of it?
Just a spice cabinet.
The Magician's Apprentice.
The Magician's Apprentice, where you find mops that start to move. Sorry. Anyway, Brian, what were you saying?
You can absolutely attempt this, grabbing Adeline and jumping over. Because you're grabbing a whole other person, advantage, disadvantage, cancel out. You'll be just rolling flat. If you fail, you are falling in this puddle.
Yes. We don't know the consequences of that yet.
Don't know the consequences.
They might be great. Good.
It seemed to work out really well for the slime mold.
Yeah. Adelaide, I could to get us both in a better position of sort of leap us in there, and while you sing, Winnie and I could see about getting over to that glowworm, and maybe Matt and Amira could leap after us.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, I could do that.
It's just like warming up the fight.
Jordan, go ahead and test Grace.
Come on, baby.
Let's do it. That is an 8, which is one below my 9.
Let's go!
God.
Nice.
Adelaide, you get scooped up by this septuagenarian?
Yes.
And bound over this, probably like, this is, Geraldine takes like a couple steps back and you realize.
Geraldine does a full, like, walks back and like Tara Woodall Davis does like a full Olympic long jump.
Yeah. Hey!
Yay! Full long jump.
With Adelaide in her arms.
Adelaide, it's wild for you to feel because you're looking and Geraldine's legs are like all the way out in front of her so she can clear this thing. And then like with your additional weight, like the momentum pulls you over. It's a wild experience for you.
We've done this.
Am I the slingshot now? Am I now the slingshot?
Both of you clear it. As you see this slime mold, as you land, this like the effort of this again makes this mold react in some way. As the glowworm kind of looks at you and you see it kind of giving some kind of motion of like pointing you towards like a side of the room where there seems to be a concentration of this slime mold.
Okay.
This thing is enveloping the entire room, but there is a section that is clearly like this was where it was born from. And you see this was like a mushroom or fungus like storage area. Both of you clear across this miasmatic pool. Amira, what are you doing?
Matt found a transfer pipette on the ground.
Sure.
And so we're like, don't worry, we're going to clean this up. We're just piping the liquid into the rage bottles I have. So we get some of the goo. I'm just doing that.
Amira, as you do that, you immediately bottle up two vials of this stuff. As that happens, though, I'm going to need you to roll a D6.
What Uh-oh. The hell? Come on.
Yeah.
Arnar.
What Arnar. The heck?
Come on, baby.
Are you kidding me? No.
I will say this is not a wrinkle. This is a magical effect that is going to be happening to you.
It might be great. Okay.
Yeah, it could be good.
It could be good.
Those are good.
Amira,
I'm
also
doing something to help advance
webs.
The plot.
Let me be clear. You have two vials of this stuff. This could be great.
One for you, one for Matt.
I rolled a 3.
Man, this is so perfect. I'm so happy.
No,
I'm so happy. There were a combination of bad effects on this table. There were some good effects on this table. And there were some funny effects on this table. And number 3 is the funniest of them all. As you are breathing in this miasma in this room, you all of a sudden cough, opening up the capillaries of your lungs, and you feel some of this miasma getting in. And all of a sudden you feel a sensation warp through your lungs up to your brain, and like you almost feel it like tickling your brain for a second.
Uh-oh.
All of a sudden your inhibitions are gone. For the next hour, you cannot resist the urge to blurt out your most embarrassing secrets.
Oh my God.
My most embarrassing what?
Your most embarrassing secrets.
Oh, this is about to be good.
Amira, have you been keeping secrets?
This is about to be real good, honey.
The stuff you only tell Matt.
Right.
Who then tells
Matt, we need 25 right. more bottles of these.
But it stops there. I don't barter in your secrets.
As that's happening, Adelaide, Winnie, and Geraldine, you are across. You see this glowworm trapped by this slime mold. You begin to move into this area. The slime mold is responding to sound and sensation. Moving quietly through this space is potentially a way to get around it. But even then, you see in front of, like, basically surrounding this glowworm, it is trapped not as a cage. It is just, like, stuck. It can't get around this thing.
It can't get around it, yeah.
Okay.
So Adelaide, like, clears her throat, because we're going to be making noise anyway. There's no way to, like, not make noise. So if sound affects it, I might as well affect it with a good sound. And I'm going to do a lullaby. Oh, slime mold thing, please do not make us stab you. Oh, slime mold thing, 'cause I'll totally stab you. Do you think that this is a game? Don't make your family file a claim. Oh, slime mold thing, I'm not fucking the 1, the 2, or the 3.
Woo! Do you? Baby!
For a moment, Geraldine is just mesmerized.
I'm going to say, I think Winnie almost falls asleep, like, off of the balancing board. Like, my hand slips and I almost drop.
Amira's like, I'm high, but that was great.
So you're using your lullaby. You've got to roll your gift dice.
Okay.
You have one gift die. The sum of the gift die, so that the result of that gift die will be the amount of hit points it can put to sleep.
Okay.
I'll tell you right now, this is going to be tough. The slime mold has 6 hit points.
Okay.
So you got to roll a 6 for this thing to become incapacitated.
Okay, and I'm sorry, for the gift die, what dice is that? That is a
D6? That is a D6.
All right.
I will just preface that these dice cannot be altered by heart dice.
Ooh.
Okay. Before I roll, it's 6, so is it like sleepy if I get less than 6, or is it just like all or nothing?
It is
all. Or is it like a little like woozy, all or nothing?
This is all or nothing. But if you get it, you clear right through.
Oh, boy. It's a 2.
Okay, that is, honestly, it's a good way to do it, because if you'd rolled a 4 or 5, that gift die would have been expended.
Yeah.
Oh, true, okay, true. Okay. So at least you get to keep it for another
So of the ways to miss, this is the best way to miss. Adelaide, your song fills this cavern. It echoes off the walls, and as it does, you see the slime mold almost forming the sine waves of your song.
Oh.
Two little arms come out and give a small clap.
Hey!
Oh, well, thank you.
And then it descends. I'm going to need everyone here to roll initiative.
Wait, no, you are not going to applaud and then attack. That is delicious.
No, that's going to make me stab it.
That's nice. That's good.
So everyone in that room?
Amir, I'll have you do it as well, and you can. We'll keep you in the initiative order if you want to join or if you want to do anything else.
Okay.
And that's a d20 for initiative order, correct?
Yes. Initiative in this game is you are testing your wits. If you succeed, you will act before the enemies. If you fail, you will act after. And you guys can kind of choose your order depending on those groups.
In case if someone, not I'm not weary, obviously, but if someone was, would they have to roll 2 d20s and take the lower of the two?
You would have to roll 2 d20s and take the lower
of
the two.
But that would only apply.
But yeah, no one said I was at the start of the episode, so I don't think I am. Yeah.
You know, I'm so prepared to reward honesty for people who remember things that I don't remember.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
That might help you out later.
Well, yeah.
More so.
I'm telling you, I'm weary.
Oh, wow. I'm so glad you said that because I didn't remember at all. Roll with disadvantage. Thank you so much for being honest. You know, it's so tough. There's so much I have to remember. It's so great.
Maybe someone else can do the rolling for the group now?
No, when you say that.
Well,
we want the honest person rolling for the group.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yes. Honesty is a virtue.
I can't trust Abby. Are you kidding me?
No.
Abby will do it right in front of your face.
Geraldine's a liar. She's got trick dice.
Amira, what'd you get?
I rolled 2 and I guess it's the higher of the 2, not the lower of the 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I rolled a 12.
I assume that's failure based on your stats?
Yes, it's a failure, Brian.
Just checking.
Tell us how you feel, babe.
Winnie, you were the only success in initiative in this group, so you will act first. You see around you, this slime mold is beginning to attack, like tendrils of it are coming towards you, but you have a moment to react. What do you do?
Oh my goodness. So I'm going to look at my two siblings and I'm like, they got it. My goal, if I can, is to reach down and snatch this glowworm up by the collar and scamper away with it.
Sure.
So get that out of this particular situation. My sisters are badasses. They'll be fine.
In order to do that, I'm going to have you test Grace to see if you can basically like get around this slime mold as it's moving, grab this thing, and get out unscathed. So go ahead and test Grace.
Yeah! I get a 1 under 9.
Oh, hell yeah. Critical success.
Hey.
100%. You scoop up this glowworm. You see you kind of throw it over your shoulder. A little dog tag, a little glowworm tag kind of dangles near your thing. It says blueberry on it. With a nat 1, you fully clear this room. You jump over, or you climb over. You get the glowworm fully to safety. It's in like the hallway on the other side. As you go on a nat 1, I'm going to give you one more bonus thing.
Oh!
You see, as Adelaide gets closer with the torch to the slime mold, it reacts to it and moves away from the heat and the fire.
Oh, that is perfect. So yeah, if I can drop blueberry down, I'm immediately going to turn, try to see if I can get a 20 or eyes on a mirror, and then I'm going to turn back. And I think when I see that, I'm just going to immediately shout across the cavern that we're in, "It fears fire."
You shout that out. All of you hear that. However, it is the slime mold's turn, and the slime mold recognizes what is most scary to it and is going to attack Adelaide. Adelaide, I'm going to need you to test Grace to try to avoid this attack as a bunch of slime dripping with this almost like acidic touch slides down and tries to grab onto your arm that is holding the torch.
Okay. I got an 8 on 11.
Let's go.
You
let's go.
Move out of the way. You see this like corrosive, clearly like there's some kind of like chemical reaction that is happening inside of the slime mold that would have been some kind of like corrosive element on your skin, but you pull back And as you do, the flame kind of like licks the wall a little bit and the slime mold retreats again just a little bit. That is the slime mold's turn. Adelaide, Geraldine, and Amira, all of you are acting on this turn. I'm going to say, Adelaide, let's go ahead and start with you since you were the one who was just pulling away this torch.
Okay, so since I do have the torch, this thing still isn't making any noise other than tummy bubbling noises. I want to test something. Because I have just a free innate ability, a free thing I can do is that I can mimic voices and sounds. I'm going to see if it's possible for me to kind of mimic and throw my voice. Since this is so cavernous, I can talk. and sounds tend to bounce off of it. I want to see if I can mimic the sound of fire.
Sure.
And see if I can use that to confuse it by bouncing it all around the cavern that we're in.
That's so just like that is clever.
So little that's like noises brilliant. Of like flickering. And so then that way, as I'm walking around with the fire, it might feel some of the heat, but also maybe get confused about exactly where I'm at to pinpoint me.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I say go ahead and roll. Is there any test you have to do with that?
This just says innate, so it just says I can mimic voices and sounds with uncanny accuracy.
Okay, I'll say, let's go ahead and test your wits. I'm going to say, you are able to do this. This is to see how effective this is.
My wits were 12. I rolled a 1.
Critical success. Nice. You, move to the center of the room where it is furthest away from the slime mold, tendrils that are kind of coming down at all angles from this place. This room is incredibly dangerous as this thing is just everywhere. You are moving the torch around, and as you're moving the torch around, you're getting the sensation of the sounds of that, and it is reacting to both the heat of the torch, but also you see some of it is reacting to the sound of it, and bits of it are moving around in different areas. Do you want to give me what the sound you make is? You can also say no to this one. This one's a little weird.
No. Fuck it. Meatball.
I'm not passing this up.
Meatball.
Just that you hear the little, the crackling of the inside of the torch, because I feel like that would be the part that would make the most. So as you hear little cracks and pops that pop off of the sound, or off of the thing, along with, I feel sometimes when you get really close to fire, it does have a little bit of not a hum, but just a tiny, little bit of a resonance that you also hear. But it's also mostly a little bit of the resonance of that, a little bit of the snapping and the popping of the wood as the embers come down. Maybe the sounds of a few falling embers ping-ponging off of the walls.
Oh.
The rest of the cavern goes quiet, and all you hear is the gurgling sounds of this toxic mold and then the sounds of fire, both real and imitated. As these sounds begin to bounce around the walls, the toxic slime mold begins to retreat. It begins to coalesce into its center point. So the exit is much easier to see. You also see at this point, as it begins to retreat, the only other door leading out of this area has had some kind of cave-in. This seems to be a dead end. On a nat 1, as this thing begins to retreat, you also see it pulls out of some of the shelving that was housing a bunch of these glass bottles that had been broken. As it retreats back, you see an unbroken glass bottle with a picture of a statue on it, still filled with some kind of grayish liquid.
Does anybody else see this, or am I the only one that sees it?
I'm saying this moment, you're the only one that sees it.
Okay, and so how far am I away from that?
On a nat 1, it's grabbable right now.
Okay, perfect. So Adelaide's just going to go ahead and grab it again using the sound of that fire and the fire itself. I'm moving my torch hand in my other hand the same, just in case it decides it wants to come after it, and I grab that thing right off. And I look at it, I examine it. Are there any words on it? It's just a little statue.
It's a picture of a statue. I think the thing that you recognize at this moment is you don't quite know what this is. Spending some time with it, you can maybe figure it out. And if you get out of here, someone will be able to for sure tell you what this is.
Oh, yeah. Tell us topside. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So then I'm going to go ahead and we've got Blueberry, the
Blueberry the bug, we've got everyone, so it feels like I can go ahead and take this and start making my retreat. I have 4 torches.
Yeah.
So as I'm doing that, I take that and I put that in my satchel. I take out one of my other torches, using that one to light it.
Yeah.
And then I leave one of the lit torches in the middle of the room. As I'm still making noise and holding the other torches, I make my retreat to go head up so someone else can tell me what the hell that thing is or what this liquid is.
You leave this torch in the center. You see, as this slime mold was retreating back to like its coalescing point, like the point where it originated from, by leaving this torch here, it begins to be buffeted back almost by this heat shield of fire. It is confused. It doesn't have the sensory apparatus to figure out that this isn't a threat to it, really. And you begin to back out of the room. For the moment, this is certainly a thing you can take care of. Like, you could destroy this thing, but it is essentially sequestered and defeated unless you guys want to engage. At this point, do you guys want to retreat or do you want to continue engaging with it?
I mean, hell, this is neutralized and it doesn't seem to be moving from this area right now, right?
And I think with the placement of that torch, it literally, like, can't.
And it's the way we came is the only way back out. The other entrance was caved in.
As the slime mold, like, retreated, you see there was another entrance or there was another passage that has been caved in.
That's been caved in.
Well, I guess we're going right then to the bees?
To the bees!
As you guys turn out of the room, you see Amira standing where the liquid was. A lot of the liquid has now been scooped up. And she's, like, sitting atop, like, she's, like, you know, like, riding... like mad, like a, you know, like a human rides a horse.
you know.
Shut up.
Tell me more about that.
Shut up.
Could you like paint me a word picture? What do you mean?
She's like holding one of the bottles of like rage, but like has like shoved like a cloth in it, like a Molotov cocktail.
oh my God.
And it says highly flammable underneath the bottle, like in the bottle. It says bottle of rage. You know, in like caution marks, highly flammable.
Gaze upon me, sisters. I, Amira, ride upon my lover.
you're
my love.
I don't think
where's,
that's what that
where's the beast? I set it on fire.
And I light like a little match to my tinderbox.
Are you making another Amiratov cocktail? Because like,
yes, an Amiratov cocktail.
You know, I usually love when she makes those.
Yeah,
but we're
except
when
they get us kicked out of places. Yeah.
We are in a tight spot.
Where do I throw it?
Maybe you hold on to that for later. Maybe we don't use it right now.
Am I too late? Did I? Sorry.
Adelaide really got the Adelaide and Winnie sort of.
All right.
They got me set up, but you cleared a path for us on the floor. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Thanks.
I'm making direct eye contact with Matt.
Blowing out a Molotov.
Matt, can you spit on that?
Matt just goes,
no.
And just puts his whole mouth around the Molotov cocktail in a way that like sucks all the oxygen out. And then as he opens his mouth, it's just.
Thanks, Matt.
Smoke rings.
Yeah, and then he blows
Matt
rings.
Yeah.
I love you so much, Matt.
Oh, boy. Oh, we have a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
As Amira is like, has cleaned up enough of this mess. Amira, I'm going to say you have 2 bottles, like 2 little flasks of this stuff.
That's so cool.
I'll write down some stuff of what these things will do. Essentially, you have like a wild magic potion. It is going to do some stuff. You will never know what it is until you do it.
I love it.
You've cleaned up enough that it is easy to like walk through the space and make your way back to that initial junction where you first turn left, and now you see that right path now slightly glowing green with Blueberry kind of spinning around your guys' legs and like sort of climbing up you like a dog would, of like, I want love, let me get up there.
Oh, who's a good Blueberry? You're the best Blueberry. Your Blueberry belly scratches.
Is Blueberry just all belly? Would Blueberry be all belly?
All belly.
All belly.
All belly. Everything's a belly scratch for Blueberry.
So Amira, this is sort of like a legless horse. Legless horse.
Legless
a pleasure
horse.
To meet you, legless horse. This is Matt. This is my primary lover, and I
we
will can, not,
we're gonna need
not lover.
We can't do lover.
I just don't think you know what that word means.
I don't think you know what that means.
I don't.
It's got a different kind of. It's like how
I love
the courtesans. Not the word we meant.
The way I'm just looking at Matt, I'm so sorry.
The love of my life, Matt.
Dad could be okay.
She's not getting better.
Yeah, like your best, like the way that you love your best friend. Like,
yeah.
No, like, you know, you fall in love with, like, a person and then they, like, turn into a horse type thing is kind of what...
Wait. Was Matt a dude?
Yeah. Wait. Have I not told you all that?
Amira!
I just look at Matt like I'm
Adelaide's
so sorry.
Eyes are, like, wide as saucers. And...
What?
Matt's a dude?
Matt's a prince.
Matt's a prince?
Yeah, we were supposed to get married, but he's a horse, so I need to get the tears of a unicorn to free him from the horse curse so that he can be human again.
Oh my god! All this lore! I peed in front of you, Matt!
Matt's seen all of us!
I thought I told you. Would you not get my letter? Oh, you didn't get my letter.
Matt!
Because the mail's not going.
The mail's not working.
Adelaide starts looking through the old letters and, like, finds the letter from Amira.
Oh, my God.
The undelivered letter.
Amira, did you not think it was weird that we never asked you about this?
No, I just thought we were... Celine was missing, so that was kind of taking precedent, and then...
I thought you just wanted to find a unicorn because it's... Just a horse.
You were all so supportive of my unicorn conquest. I thought you all knew.
No, we just, like, support you and stuff.
Yeah.
And honestly, Geraldine, I'm surprised you're kind of chill with this. This is Prince Matthew, the guy I kind of stole from you or convinced not to.
Prince Matthew! You dirty dog.
Adelaide is just, like, eating some trail snacks, just, like, watching all of this happening and, like consigning it to the annals of history. Just, like, yeah, this is going to be really important someday. Scholars are going to read about this.
I feel good about this, and I'm not embarrassed by this at all right now.
Dude, I this is a lot to process.
You see Matt just kind of shrugs his shoulders.
Anyways, nice to meet you, legless horse.
You look over and Blueberry has disappeared, and you turn around and Blueberry's riding Matt.
No! Get off! You can stay, I guess.
The good Blueberry. The best boy.
So many things are starting to make so much sense now.
Amira's giving, like, Matt, like, a little, combing Matt's hair with, like, a little brush.
Oh.
Oh.
And then she, like, licks her hands and, like, shapes it up to make it look like a little, like...
A little quaff.
Yeah, a little quaff.
It's at this moment, I think Geraldine, you recognize this too, Matt does, like, a little, like, and, like, flicks his mane around, and it lands in a perfect, like, curl quaff that instantly you recognize as Prince Matthew.
Oh! Like,
all of a sudden, it all clicks into place.
You know, I always thought that I liked Matt and didn't really understand why Matt wasn't a big fan of Geraldine over here, but it's starting to make sense!
It's all coming together.
Wow. Geraldine's, like, full doing, like, a 1,000-yard stare, just trying to think back through every interaction she's ever had with Matt. The horse. And being like, was that weird? My ex-boyfriend? Was that strange? Should I not have said that? Was that a weird thing to say?
The potion made Amira tell the truth and then gave everyone else anxiety.
Jodine, I think a lot of Matt's behavior of the couple days, like, kind of clicks into place for you. Like, there are times when you are saying things or doing things in a way that Matt just all of a sudden just leaves. You recognize that, like, once everything's in place, you're like, oh, this is someone being respectful and leaving and things.
Now I understand.
But as a horse, it was really weird.
Yeah.
Every time.
Man.
As this revelation sinks in, again from that right tunnel, you hear... surrounded by this buzzing of a hive and that strange hypnotic buzz of a singular queen bee. This season of My First Dungeon is sponsored by Tabletop Bookshelf. Tabletop Bookshelf is one of our favorite online game stores and offers a curated selection of indie tabletop RPGs and solo games delivered to you with care. Use code PERIL15 to get 15% off of Perils and Princesses, Sweet Revenge, or any other game at tabletopbookshelf.com. This episode features the voice talents of Brian Flaherty, Abby Hepworth, Bridget Jeffries, Danielle Radford, and Chinook Tissera. Editing and sound design by Brian Flaherty. This episode features a theme song and some original music by Behold. My First Dungeon is a Many-Sided Media production.